to the kingdom can see an example of hungry people who love God with all of their heart. How many believe that should be the example to young Christians today? Hungry people for righteousness that love God with all of their heart. Thank you for singing so good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to our text this morning. It won't take us very long to do this as the Lord directs tonight. Turn with me once again to Jeremiah 50 and verse 6. That is truly hungry for righteousness tonight is going to want to be instructed in righteousness. Amen? That means that we've got a hunger for Bible study. We've got a hunger for the Word of God. To be hungry to be right with God and ignore His Word that's a complete misnomer, misconception. It's not correct. Amen? If you're hungry for righteousness, you want to be instructed in righteousness. How many know that no one knows it all? And how many know that no matter how much we know, we need to be re-challenged with the Word of God? Amen. Because we're in a fallen world, in a faulty body. And we're in a world that's going to pull every moment of your time that it possibly can away from you. And the time we spend in the presence of God and the time we spend in the Word of God is vital to our victory in the last days. And without it, we're going to end up going with the flow in spite of all of our so-called commitments. Everybody say commitments. Commitments don't mean anything. My commitment to Pamela don't mean anything if I go out on her. Amen. It's not what I say to her. It's what I do that indicates that I've made a commitment, and it's a lasting commitment. Amen. I don't date. I'm not looking to flirt. I'm not looking for another woman in my life. Praise God. Amen. Don't want another woman. Praise the Lord. Wouldn't take $1 million for Pamela. Wouldn't give a nickel for another one. I couldn't train another one. I've got her trained to me. It's too late to train them. Praise God. I just couldn't do it. They would expect too much of me. Amen. I'm set in my ways now, and Pamela still loves me, so I better hang on. You ever heard that song? You better hold on. Hold on to what you've got. Come on, Brother Taylor. You know what I'm talking about. Praise God. Amen. So I'm going to hold on to what I've got in the Lord and hold on to what I've got in my marriage and hold on to what I've got in my soul and my spirit tonight. I want to read from Jeremiah 50 and verse 6 again because it's an important scripture, because God is calling His people to rest in Him while the rest of the world cannot find any true peace, no matter how hard they pursue it through drugs, they pursue it through various types of perversions and sins. They can't find peace that can only be found in Jesus Christ. If we could show them that peace in our daily life, we could validate the claims of Jesus, because He said, amen, that He could give us a peace if we come and trust Him as our Savior that the world knows not of. And He said that peace is going to have to operate in the midst of trials and tests and troubles and tribulations. It's got to operate in the midst of that. In fact, before He talked about the peace He wants to give us, He told us what to expect in the world that we as Christians are going to live in every single day. In this world, this fallen world, you're in a fallen world. You have a faulty body. I'm not confessing something that's going to make me sick. I'm telling the truth about aging and about the fact that that you're not going to live forever, and that this body, from time to time, is going to show you how faulty it is. Amen. I've heard people preach on divine health until you die, and even Smith Wigglesworth, who had such a great ministry, didn't operate in that. Amen. His body began to fail before he finally went to heaven. I've heard all kinds of faith teachings. I've heard everything there is, but you still live in a faulty body. Amen. Some of us, as we age, we see that some of the small print. I used to be able to preach in dim light from one of those pocket New Testaments. If you just throw me one of them, I could preach from anywhere in it, and I could hold it right out here and not even have to hardly squint. Today, I prefer large print if I can get it. And if I add my glasses to the large print, I don't even have to squint at it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody said, would you let someone that wears glasses to read pray for your eyes? And I thought, well, certainly. Amen. That doesn't prove they don't have faith. It proves they're aging. Amen. Now, Moses had a gift to keep him youthful until God used him in the way he wanted to use him. And the Bible said, amen, that when he was, 100 years old, his strength was not abated. And so don't get in a wrestling match with Moses just because he's an old guy. Can you say amen? His natural strength was not abated, and his eye was not dim. There is supernatural keeping for a specific purpose. But as a rule, as we age, things are going to have to change. There's things I don't do anymore, if I drop a penny. I really have to think about it. I know we're supposed to be frugal and all about that, and we probably got a big jar somewhere to put our pennies, but pennies don't go where they used to, and it's a long way down there. And it's even harder to get back up some days. Amen. So nickels and dimes I still go after, praise God. But pennies, sometimes I think, is it worth it? I generally, because of the guilt I would have for not picking it up, go on down there and get it. And it's probably good for me to get down there and get it. Amen. I would touch my toes and show you how limber I am, but I haven't been down there in a while. Praise God. I try not to drop pennies anymore. Amen. We're living in a fallen world. We live in faulty bodies. That's why James 5:14 is in there. If there be any sick among you, let them call the elders of the church. There is an answer. There is an antidote. God has made a provision for us as long as we're in this world. Amen. To call for prayer when we have needs in our bodies, because he knew we were going to need it. Amen. The man who came to bring that Paul honored so much, a man of such faith and fidelity and faithfulness that blessed Paul so much just by being the man that he was. On the way to bring a gift from the church to Paul, he fell sick certain days, and he was laid up for a while, and as soon as he could walk, he walked on to minister to Paul. Praise God. Amen. Listen to me. Amen. Are you listening to me? Yes, he did. Amen. Just like I told you, I went to a healing campaign in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and Oral Roberts was going to be the keynote speaker, but he couldn't come. We were asked to pray for him because he had the flu. Oral Roberts had the flu. Well, that proves that he's not a man of faith. No, it proves he's human. Then you say amen. Isn't it good that people are human? Isn't it good to find out that you can be human and have faith in God? But you've got to recognize your humanity in order to really, truly walk in victory. You can't deny your humanity. I see people carrying burdens and carrying stress and are more conscious of devils than they are of God with them, trying to be stronger than they ought to be, because it's in confessing our weakness and trusting God that brings peace and brings joy and brings true victory and happiness. Paul said, when I'm weak, not when I'm standing on a mountain, because I read that book on how to do it. Believe me, if you want to try to be a spiritual Superman, some other spiritual so-called Superman has a book for you to tell you how to stand on that mountaintop and never be budged by anything. That is not how God, amen, cultivates our faith. Amen. Amen. If Paul had to stand on a mountain his whole life, he would have never, ever known the grace of God that caused him to say, you know something, it's this situation right here and my trust in him and his faithfulness that is the source of my true strength in my life and ministry. It is the grace of God that I am. Whatever I have become is because of God's grace. Amen. Can you say amen? God is so good tonight. Well, let's get into this message. This is an important message. In this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Don't let that stop you and get you down. The baton has been passed to us. We are in the kingdom for this time. I am becoming a preacher like I used to look up to draw strength from. Amen. The people that I used to draw strength from are passing on to the other side. The standard bearers are passing on to the other side. I'm moving into a category now where God wants me to be a standard bearer. Amen. And to find my strength not from them because they're passing over, but from him who they drew their strength from. Did you ever stop and think through some of these people that we looked to in the past where they got theirs? Amen. They had to draw it from the Lord. They had to have a deep commitment to God. Can you say amen? Well, here we are in a faulty body, in a fallen world, that Jesus promised in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And then he said, I'm going to give you a peace in this world, in your faulty body, in this fallen world, with the thelpsis, with the pressure and anguish that living in a fallen world is going to bring to everybody without exception. My peace I give you, not like the world gives you, give I thee. Can you say amen? Well, what peace does the world ever give us? Well, the only peace it can give is when there's no problem for a little while. It's a temporary peace. It's not a lasting peace. It's going to be interrupted. Amen? I mean, no one lives. Listen, wars and rumors of wars. It's kind of like the couple that said, we have a prophetic end-time marriage. Preacher was kind of glad to hear that until they explained themselves. They said, wars and rumors of wars. Can you say amen? We live in a world that is marked by wars and rumors of wars. We live in circumstances in our life when you can be doing real good on a job and everything can be peaceful and a brand new boss come in and just mess everything up and stress everybody out. We had our weekly guilt-free hamburger today with that good beef at Hardee's. And there was a waitress, and it was when I walked in, I heard people back there fussing, and I knew I'm walking into stress right here. They are stressed out. They are underhanded here. They don't have enough people, not underhanded, but you know, they don't have enough help. Shorthanded. Amen. And they were back there fussing, and I knew we're walking into stress, and sure enough, the stress, a young lady just went completely berserk and began cursing and hollering and carrying on, and they had to threaten to call the police, and she's still cursing, and then her boyfriend or whoever comes up in a van, and he comes in and throws her uniform back toward the counter. Everybody's in there trying to eat their hamburger, and you know, and it's just the stress is just absolutely overwhelming, and we're just sitting there. And you know, sometimes these things escalate into people going and getting a gun. I mean, this is a fallen world. This is a perilous time. We live in that, and yet we are in the kingdom in the last day circumstance for a time such as this. God is looking for us not to go with the flow. God is looking for us that he can set us as an example, that he can show us off to showcase his church in this world right now. And you know what's going to mark us? His peace reigning when fear is gripping everybody else. Peace. Peace. Righteousness in our life is going to allow that peace to come. But it's the peace itself that's going to set us apart from the world about us. Listen to this. This is from this morning, and you know the scripture. Jeremiah 50 and verse 6 says, my people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They've turned them away. They've turned them away. On the mountains, they've gone from mountain to hill. They've forgotten their resting place. They have forgotten their resting place. I love the Amplified because it brings it in the context, in the actual Hebrew connotations. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray to favorite places of idolatry, on mountains that seduce. They've gone from one sin to another, mountain to hill. They've forgotten their own resting place. I like what Max Lucado said. Listen to it carefully before we close pretty quickly this evening. You know, as Max Lucado reminds us, and I'm going to quote, only one other living creature has as much trouble resting as we do. One creature on this planet has as much trouble resting as we do. Are you interested in hearing what that creature is? By the way, people are troubled. I see people that read books on faith. I see people that go to crusades and listen to televangelists. And listen to me, for that matter. But all the other stuff is more ingrained in them than anything I can ever tell them. And they just won't lay the burden down. They just don't know how to rest in God. Amen? They simply don't know how to rest in the Lord. They don't know how to commit things to Him. They don't even know how to walk with confidence in a world filled with devils that want to destroy it. You know what Jesus said? Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as the wheat. And he said that. On further research, I found out that it was in the plural that was actually written. So it wasn't just to Peter. It was to all of us. Satan has desired to have you all. Have you figured that out? It wasn't just Peter he wanted to destroy. It's you and me and everyone else that names the name of Jesus. Satan had desired to have you that he may sift you as the wheat. But it always comes back to him, doesn't it? Victory always rests upon him helping us. Everybody say, him helping us. Oh, friend of mine, I want you to understand clearly that your rest of faith is going to, when you realize that he will not let you fall and that he will rise up when the devil raises up, amen, and comes against you. Can you say amen? Amen? If you don't believe that, then you're going to be responsible for your own safety. And if you're responsible for your own safety, guess what? You are stressed to the max because we live in a world filled with devil. There was a fall, and they're down here. Can you say, man? I serve a keeping God. My Bible said that we are kept. Again, where's the focus? We are kept by the power of God unto the day of salvation. I heard a preacher preaching the other night. I went out there. My dad listens to preachers 24/7. Amen. And sometimes I have to deprogram him. They fill him with so much fear and put so much trips on him that I have to deprogram him. Sometimes I spend 90 minutes with the Word of God deprogramming my dad from hours of people saying things that simply isn't biblically correct, creating fear when there should be faith. And I don't mean my faith, amen, in my ability to overcome, but my faith in God's commitment to me through Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Faith in his faithfulness. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I'm getting real tired. I told my dad the other night, I said, before I listen to that guy right there, put on Laurel and Hardy. At least get something that lifts you up. Put on the Three Stooges, for heaven's sakes. Larry Mullen and Curly is not going to bring you down and put a trip on you. Not going to fill you with fear. Because it gets real confusing out there, especially the guys that think that they got it together. This guy is saying, God don't care nothing about your pain. He doesn't respond to your pain, your heartache, your heartbreak. He only responds to your faith. I thought, are you crazy? Are you nuts? If TVs didn't cost so much, I would have kicked so many of those TVs. Amen? I wanted to kick the TV. Just shut up. And when he saw them bringing the sick from every quarter, he was moved with compassion. He wasn't responding to just their faith. He was responding to their need and their pain. We don't have... I have loved you with an everlasting love. And it's love that motivates me to honor your faith, saith the Lord. We don't have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Because he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin, is because he feels our pain in his own heart, that he's such a faithful high priest, that he's such a wonderful Savior. Can you say, man, aren't you glad for a Jesus like that tonight? Aren't you glad that it's all not just hinging on my ability to stand so strong and believe so perfectly, amen, that I have a God who loves me tonight? Can you say, man, there's a resting place. There's a resting place. He didn't expect them to go take the promised land by their faith. He expected them to believe him to give it to them. To go over there in his name. And to trust that God would come through. Which God did when they trusted him for that. Amen. I see people under stress because my dad, I told him, I had to sit down with him and say, you know, that he said, sometimes, Bobby, I just don't feel like my faith is where it needs to be. I said, well, all of us can grow in faith. You trust the Lord? Yes. Do you look to Him as your source? Yes. Do you lean on Him with everything you know to do? Yes. I said, then don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. Has He kept you for 90 years with the faith you got? If He's kept you with 90 years with the faith you got, there's a good, strong possibility He's going to keep you for the rest of the trip. Because it ain't as long as it was before. Can you say amen? There's no reason to doubt Him. No reason to fear. Every reason to get up in the morning and say, Lord, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I see people that literally don't have any joy, have a real problem worshiping. Stay sapped of joy, sapped of, and when you lose your joy, which is your strength emotionally and mentally, amen, and spiritually, when you lose that, your body reacts to that. A merry heart, what does it do for your body and your mind and your emotions? What does a merry heart do? The Bible said heaviness, and you can see it in so many Christians today. Heaviness in the heart of a man causes it to stoop. But a good word, I said a good word, makes it glad. Can you say amen? Lift up the hands that hang down. Strengthen the feeble knee, lest they be turned out of the way. Comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Tell them their captivity's turned around and that God is going to see that they have victory. Can you somebody give Him praise tonight? That's our God. Hallelujah. Max Lucado reminds us that every other living creature, but there's one that has as much trouble resting as we do. Not dogs, they doze. I left two dozing dogs over in Matthew's little abode. He brought them in out of the rain, and old Sophie and old Buddy started snoring at the same time. And man, it was a symphony of snores. Amen. Dogs doze. Your big old doggy, boy, he got his snore on at night, didn't he? Praise God. Big, great, big whatever he was. Great, big, ugly something that you wouldn't want to. I mean, he's sweet. I didn't say he wasn't sweet, but you got to admit he was an ugly looking thing. Amen. And I mean that in the nicest sort of way. Amen. He's a sweetheart, though, wasn't he, to y'all? He wouldn't have been a sweetheart to me, would he? No, that's why I say he's an ugly old thing. But he was sweet to his mama and his daddy. Dogs doze. Bears, of course, hibernate. They take time off, go in, lay down, forget it all, and sleep for a long time. Amen? Cats invented the cat nap. Amen? And sloth snooze 20 hours a day. Most animals have enough sense to know how to rest, with one exception. Are you ready for this? I had a bird, and it's not the bird. I want to tell you about this animal before we close tonight. But I had a bird. His name was Davy. He was a mini macaw. He's solid green, a little bit of red on the top of his head. And he was a mini macaw. And I'm glad, because they're, you know, they make big messes sometimes. He made a little mess to the big macaw mess. And you know, he couldn't take your finger clean off. He'd bite about halfway through if he bit you. But he was a mini macaw. And we didn't teach him to talk. He just said things that he enjoyed saying. And to show he wasn't parroting us, he said it at the right time. Amen. I kept bringing him in out of the. We'd go out and sit and feed the squirrels before I went to work in the backyard. And he liked to watch them come and get the peanuts. And he'd look at them and have a big time. And then he'd start getting really hot out there. And I'd see him breathing through his mouth. Now, it's time to get this bird out of here. I'm sipping something, water, lemonade, and tea or whatever. And I take the bird and I give him a drink or two. And we head for the door, have an air conditioner on in the back porch. And we come walking in the back porch. And I would always say, all right, all right. Amen. One day I walked in. I didn't say all right, so he did. As soon as we got in out of that, Davy said, all right. And ever since then, when we come in out of the sun, old Davy would say, all right. And then I would always bathe out in the bathroom that's off the porch, so I didn't mess up any of Pamela's pretty towels and pretty wash rags, and I wouldn't take her expensive shampoos and squeeze gobs out in my hand. You know what it is. You know, she said, you know, it's just easier to avoid all of that and go out there in the manly bathroom. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So he would hear the shower running. When he heard the shower, he knew it was time for me to go to work. And he would say, "Daddy got a cookie? Daddy got a cookie?" Because I give them both an animal cracker before I went to work. "Daddy got a cookie? Daddy got a cookie? Daddy got a cookie?" He would not shut up till I brought him a little animal cracker every single day. Amen. But then when he got tired at night, you know what he would say? Because we had to put him in his cage and we'd cover it up and say, night-night time. It's night-night time. He'd be sitting there waiting. If we got watching TV or something, forgot about him, all of a sudden he'd come out and say, "Night-night time. Night-night time." And if we didn't respond to him, he would show emotion. He would say, "Night-night time." And I used to purposely wait just to hear him say it that way. He wanted to go to sleep. There's one animal that has problem laying down. What did it say about us? What would God do as our shepherd? He'll make us to lay down green pasture. He'll lead us beside still water, but he will make us lay down in green pasture. Listen to this carefully. Sheep. For sheep to sleep, everything must be right. No predators, no tension in the flock, no bugs in the air attacking them, no hunger in the belly. Everything has to be just so before they can rest. But they can't take care of all these worries on their own. This is where the shepherd comes in. He finds the best pasture, one with no poisonous plants and plenty of water. Shepherds anoint their sheep's heads with oil that acts as a repellent to keep the insects away. "Thou anointest my head with oil." They even scour the pasture to find snake holes, and they encircle the mouth of these holes with oil so the snakes can't get out and hurt their flock. And how they do that, I don't have a clue. This is from reading a book of shepherds. Listen, even as the psalm says, they have to take each sheep's head in their hand and make them lie down, forcing them to focus on him, the shepherd. If all the sheep lay down but one, none of them will go to sleep until he lays down. And the shepherd would have to go over and take that sheep by the head and just speak consoling words to that sheep, until that sheep was assuaged of his worry and fear and focused on the shepherd enough to lay down. "He maketh me to lay down in green pastures." See, if we don't find our way back to our resting place in God, we're going to be as uptight as the world about us. And we're going to be hard pressed that saying, knowing and following Christ is making a difference in our life and can make a difference. I don't mean just the eternal part. You know what I'm saying? Before we can talk to them about the eternal stuff, we got to show them some substance of our faith right down in this world that we live. Can you say, man? You can't just hit them with eternal things while all these other things that we don't think is so important. Listen, to get their attention, we've got to show them a different lifestyle and a different way of life. I went through nervous exhaustion. I missed it. I didn't do what God said to do. I didn't find my resting place until I got through that 10 years of literally torment. Fear hath torment. But perfect love does what? Do you need a demon cast out? Do you need to be exorcised? Or does being perfected in the love of God, amen, is going to take care of that for you? Amen. He that feareth is what? Not perfected in love. For perfect love does what to fear? Casts all of it out. Praise God. It annihilates it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I have to cast down some things in my life. I can't just go with the flow of my own thoughts sometimes. I have to bring them into captivity to the obedience of Jesus. I have to be ever watchful and vigilant. Amen. I can't entertain certain things. There are books I do not read. simply because they're not talking about him loving me enough to take care of me. They're talking about me being strong enough to take care of myself. Developing my faith to a level that my faith constitutes my shield. Tampa Electric. You say, Brother Bennett said take the shield of faith. Yeah, but we better define faith. Faith is not a force within you. Faith is a father that loves you. And his words, I'll never leave you, become the promise that looses your faith in his faith. Listen, it's always upward. Everything about true faith is vertical. It's not something, a force within is getting real close to getting you working independent from God in the name of faith. God will never do anything to cause you to be independent from him. Everything he does is to make you more dependent on him. And as you grow in faith, you don't grow more independent from him, you grow more dependent. Amen? As Paul followed Jesus and grew in his spiritual journey, amen, of maturity. When I was a child, I spake as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. And guess what he said in his maturity? He said, I'll take pleasure in necessities. I'll take pleasure in persecutions. He said, for whatever makes me weak and dependent on him is the source of my true strength. Can you say amen? Amen? We got preachers today that believe their faith made them what they are, when in fact, it was people that made them what they are. It was people's applause, amen, that put them in huge pulpits. It's people's money that made them rich. Can you say amen? And they want to teach you how to achieve these grand, lofty goals. But if you come to the Word of God, God's Word is going to teach you to depend on the benevolence and grace of a faithful Heavenly Father who loves you enough to give His Son for you. And Paul said if He loved us enough to give His Son, it's always about Him and His love. Can you say amen in this book? I said, this book is about him and his love. It's about him and his faithfulness. Listen, I would have never, ever made it through what I went through if God hadn't been faithful to me. Because my faith was shaken by what I was going through. But his faithfulness didn't shake when my faith shook. Can you say amen? I serve a good God tonight. I serve a God of grace and mercy tonight. I serve a good shepherd tonight. Hallelujah. I serve a God that when I can't rest will come and take me by the head and talk love to me. He won't tell me how I need to be strong, but how I need to trust him. And in trusting him, I find all the strength I need. Listen, learning to lean. Say it with me, learning to lean. You know when that song was written? A member of a quartet that sung all over America. I don't know if it was I think it was the Blackwood Brothers, if I'm not mistaken. One of the members of the Blackwood Brothers Quartet was diagnosed with cancer of the throat. He was waiting to see if the doctor's prognosis, whether he would live or die. He's laying there in the loneliness and isolation of a hospital room. And in that hospital room, he began to think about not just the songs and the preaching, but about a God who loved him, that he needed more than he ever needed him in his life, and that was there for him, and that he promised to be with him no matter what happened to him. And he said, you know, I begin to really learn about faith while laying flat on my back, not being able to help myself and not knowing what in the natural the future was going to be. Because he said it was there in that hospital that I gave everything to God, all that I am, all that I have, my future, my life, everything. And he began to write a little poem, learning to lean, learning to lean, learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Can we say that night? Learning to lean on Jesus. Amen. What does the Bible say? Amen. It says looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. And that's what the shepherd would do to that sheep that could not lay down, couldn't find rest in him. He would say, quit focusing on what's bothering you. Look at me. Listen to me. And in that look and that listen, that sheep found rest. And this whole scripture, God's people are going to come home. God's people are going to get right with him. They're going to find their resting place. Amen? Amen? The book of Hebrews chapter 4 is about unbelief and the warning of failing to enter in to his rest. Can you say amen? I would read that tonight, but for time's sake, I'm just going to go forward. We will read from Hebrews chapter 11 shortly. Listen carefully. This is important. I'm from Kentucky. I have been to some caves in Kentucky. I've experienced what I'm getting ready to read you. It's hard to rest in a darkened world. It's hard to be at ease when there's so many threatening things around us. But there's a rest in the Lord, and there's a rest of faith. And I meet Christians that are so wound up. Sometimes I get happy, and sometimes I get joy, and sometimes people would probably accuse me of too much levity. Well, I'm accusing you of too much lack of joy. Can you say, man, we've got so many long faces in church, we can't get the world convinced hardly of anything. We've got so many stressed out, wound up people. I never honk. When I see honk, if you love Jesus, can you say, man, I don't want them to give me the bad finger and have to repent Sunday. Can you say, man, I just don't honk. I just lay back because I don't know who's driving that vehicle. And I don't know at one Sunday when everything was bright and wonderful that they put that bumper sticker on that car, you know. Amen. But I know one thing. I know if we don't get it right, we can't tell the world anything because we can't show the world anything different than what they've got. Listen, God wants us to get it right. He wants to mark us, amen, with faith in the sense that the people that trust Him is supposed to make a difference in the way we look at everything and the way that we live our life. If that shepherd had to go out and take that sheep and push it down while talking comfortably until that sheep was focused on that shepherd instead of the things that were so fearful, listen, we can't focus on the devil and his minions. He's there, but Jesus has prayed for us. That what? That our faith in what? Our force of faith not fail? No, that our faith in His faithfulness would not fail. Because we have to see Jesus standing up when we are being knocked down by something. Can you say amen? When I get knocked down, Jesus stands up in my behalf. Amen. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus ever lives to do what for you and me? To do what He did for Peter, to make intercession. You're standing today not because of the great force of faith that you've developed so highly. You're standing today because you've got an advocate with the Father and He makes intercession when you're weak. You got the Holy Ghost to help you make intercession for you. The Bible said we don't always know how to pray as we ought. Amen? But when we defer to the Holy Spirit, what does He do? Amen. He prays. He makes intercession. I said He makes intercession. We're trying to take the responsibility for your victory. Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because you've given that to God. You're trusting that to God. Hallelujah. You're not encumbered by all of that. When I worked for TECO, they had a real tough safety guy because we were on a line crew and we were dealing with death every day in the sense of 7,920 volts. That's how much is on that line out front powering this place. 7,920 volts will crystallize sand when it hits it before it kicks a breaker out. It'll turn it greenish and crystal looking. That's a lot of juice. Has anybody ever got a shock? I don't mean, you know, just, you know, I'm talking about a not emotional, but a shock out of an actual thingy on the wall. Socket. Amen? Thingy on the wall will do it. You know what I'm talking about. That ain't nothing for him. And then we worked under lines that were 69,000 volts of electricity. We dealt with it every day. So we had a safety guy who's tough on safety. And he taught us yarf yoss. The word yarfios, it's not in the dictionary. There's no meaning to it. It's the letters U. So we have a safety manual, mainly to keep Tampa Electric from a lawsuit if you get hurt. Because if they can find something you violated in the safety manual, then they're off the hook. So they give you the equipment to keep you safe. But guess what? It's your responsibility to use it and apply it. And if you don't, then it's on you when something happens. Listen to me. Yarfios, I never forgot it. It made a deep impression on me. Seen people just about get killed, just about got killed myself. None of these things are you read about in there because you don't tell that. You don't want those investigations and all that kind of stuff. You just going about your day and thank God you didn't die. Can you say amen because of that foul up? But anyway, and I could tell you all kinds of war stories about that. But and I only worked there for 5 years. Anyway, God is gracious. God showed up, been good to me. Amen. Yarfios. You know what it says? What it means? Each one of those letters, you are responsible for your own safety. The devil can get you to believe that you, just like the man said, God doesn't respond to our brokenness, our pain, our anxiousness, our anxiety. Yes, he does. That's a lie right out of the pit of hell. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. At the tomb of Lazarus, what did Jesus do? How did he respond to their hurt and their agony? What did the Jesus of the Bible? You see, these guys see themselves as spiritual supermen, superwomen. Their faith has put them over. They manipulate their life by faith to their own liking. That is not biblical. Amen. I'm glad I've got a God that takes some responsibility for my safety down here. I'm glad that when my faith shakes, my God stays. I'm glad when I'm a cast sheep, he comes seeking me and doesn't stop till he finds me. And if I need carrying, he carries me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm glad. Amen. I'm glad to know where the everlasting arms are. Amen. They're not just extended out to me to take a hold of them. Underneath, supporting me, sustaining me, are the everlasting arms of a God who loved us enough to give his son for us and a Christ who loved us enough to die for us. Can you say amen? That's what makes sheep lay down. That's what makes them rest. When a great army come up against Israel, a man's name was Sennacherib. And he had fought and killed every opposing city, looted it. And he came up to God's little group of people. And he sent a note to King Hezekiah. You know what was on the note? What was on the note was, if you will surrender, we will not kill you. We'll just come in and take everything you got, enslave your women and children, and you can work and share crop and whatever, you know. You can let us take over and take anything we want, ravage your city, but you can have your life spared. Well, the people got nervous. Did you think they had a right to be nervous? They're hopelessly outnumbered by an army that's fierce, mean, and has a reputation for killing anybody that tried to oppose them. They don't have enough men to go out and fight. They're really inside the walled city, and the people are looking to the king for a word. Listen, ministers have a great responsibility to rightfully divide the word when fearful times are here. Can you say amen? And the Bible said that Hezekiah spoke comfortably unto the people, just like that shepherd did to that sheep to get it to lay down. And listen to what he said. With them is the arm of flesh. In the natural, we're no match, is what he's saying. But don't concern yourself with that. With them is the arm of flesh. With us is the Lord our God. He it is that will fight for us. Listen. And the people rested themselves on the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. What did he do? He pointed them to the covenant-keeping God of Israel. Woo! And they rested themselves. The panic, the fear. Why? Because he pointed them where faith always points. Faith never points to a force within you, but a Father above you and with you. That loves you and made a commitment to you enough to give his son for you. And Christ committed himself enough to die on the cross for you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Faith is always pointing toward him to cause you to rest in him and rest in full assurance. Can you say amen? You know, the rest of the story is so beautiful. I got to hurry. I got 5 minutes. The rest of the story is so beautiful. Because they took that note, Isaiah and Hezekiah took that note written, that threatening note. Oh, I'm going to preach one Sunday real soon on, Lord, behold their threatenings. And stretch forth thine hand, that reach forth thine hand, that signs and wonders be done in the name of thy. It's all right to pray for a manifestation of the Spirit of God. It's all right to pray for miracles among the body of Christ. Can you say amen? Because that prayer was prayed in the book of Acts. And we need to pray it again in the church, because we're under the threat that they were under, we're coming under. Hallelujah. And God is ready to move. He's ready to shake us like he shook them. That's another message. Don't amen it too much. Praise God. Listen to me carefully tonight, because I'm really set to preach that message, because God wants to move again. Amen. We've got a God in heaven. We got a God who hears and answers prayer. We got a God that can help us down here. We got a God who wants to do that, that his name might be glorified, and for the secondary reason, because he loves us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He loves us. So they took it to the temple. They spread it before the Lord. They opened it up to let God have a look at it, to make that longer story just shorten just a little bit. That night, God, well, first he said, the battle's not yours. Forget about it, guys. I'm taking this. It's always God, isn't it? Victory's always God-related. Till we get the New Testament, a bunch of preachers that think that all changed in the New Covenant. No, it's still God. Amen. If you got victory today, it's a God-given victory. That's why Paul said, thanks be unto God, which gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Not thanks be unto my faith, which got me the victory because I developed it so highly. Can you say amen? No, it is not your faith. It's your faith in him. So it's always him. So when the victory comes, the glory don't go to your faith. It goes to his faithfulness. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. My God shall supply all of your need. It's always about him. Heretofore, you've asked the Father nothing in my name. Ask that you might receive, that your joy might be full, for the Father himself loveth you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So God sent one angel. An angel. I love that. He didn't have to send 185,000 angels to deal with 185,000 men. He sent an angel. One. One supernatural heavenly being was sent down Jacob's ladder to this old earth. Can you say amen? That great corridor between earth and heaven. He said, I see angels going up and down, up and down, up and down. God has not abandoned us down here. There's a corridor between heaven and earth, and angels are being dispatched every single day. Can you say amen? Amen. The church may be dead, but God isn't. That wheel within a wheel is always turning and always moving. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Sean. Hallelujah. God sent an angel. What? He sent one angel to break the back of Egypt. One! Shalabakosa. You know what the Bible said about us? Angels camp round about them that fear the Lord. I don't know. I'm glad I didn't wear a tie tonight. Glory to God. God knew I didn't need no tie on tonight. Praise God. I'd have done pulled that thing off by now. Amen? Listen to me. God sent an angel, and 85,000 troops lay dead the next morning. Make no mistake about it. There's more with us than there is with them. That's why the Bible said, amen, to rest in the Lord. Don't fret because of evildoers. Don't let it get to you. Be concerned enough to pray. But after you pray, shout victory. Amen. And serve Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't get so conscious of the netherworld that you forget about your heavenly resource. Don't get so conscious of devils that you miss Jesus standing up and interceding for you and standing right by your side. This good shepherd wants to make you lay down. We need to return to our resting place. That place in God where we are trusting him and obedient to him. That's a resting place. And make no mistake about it, there is a rest for the children of God. Beware lest any of you fall short of entering into it. Can you say amen? There is a rest. There's a place in God where God is God. And you trust Him with everything you are and everything you have. Hallelujah. He works and you rest. They slept peacefully that night. They rested themselves on the words of Hezekiah because he pointed them to God. Hallelujah. And they put their trust in God. They slept well that night. They didn't know what was going to happen, but they knew God was now in control. Praise God. Amen. They got up the next morning to see 185,000 men lying dead, and the flies were beginning to gather. And they knew, amen, our God did this while we were resting. Not while we were worrying, fretting, and being filled with anxiety, but while we were sleeping in our beds, God sent an angel. Somebody say, a God-given victory is the best kind. Oh, say it again tonight. A God-given victory is the best kind. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't let the devil, amen, make you feel like if you're not perfect in every way, he's going to come and steal and destroy you. Jesus said, I stand up when he stands up against you. I stand up for you. And I prayed for you. That your faith would not fail. And not if, but when you are converted. When you become another man, Peter, strengthen your brethren. Can you say, man, tell them how to what? Rest in the full assurance that if you put your trust in Jesus, he's going to see you through. Can you say, man, isn't that good news to hear tonight? So many things around to drive us crazy. Everybody say, drive us crazy. Young lady today went ballistic, cussed everybody out that she worked with, wouldn't leave the premises, and they threatened to call the police, and we're all there munching on our hamburger, listening to this tirade and all of this, and wondering how far is this going to go before some violent act may take place, and you know, wondering whether to eat your hamburger or crawl under the table. Amen. I mean, somebody could pull a gun and crawl under the table. Trust God and crawl under the table. Everybody say, trust God and crawl under the table. Amen. Yeah, Brother Vim, if you're trusting God, you don't need to crawl under the table. Yes, you do. God wants you to do your part. Amen. Let's crawl under the table. Come on. Don't be presumptuous. I was going to tell Pamela, you crawl under the table. I'll pray. Hallelujah. And you pray for me while I pray. I went to a cave, and that darkness, I know that darkness because when I went through nervous exhaustion, I hated to see the twilight, the sun sinking, because it created a mood. It created an atmosphere, and I was fighting fear and fighting all the anxiety that I was in. When the sun would start sinking, I could feel that fear rising. I slept with every lamp I could get around me on all night long. I slept on 3 pillows to 4 pillows because I couldn't breathe. My breath would cut off. I have got up in the middle of the night and went out in the garage and got on my hands and knees and put a phone beside me to call 911 trying to breathe. And sometimes it would be 2 hours while I prayed and sought the Lord while I was trying to get breath and filled my heart beating like it's going to beat out of my bosom, crying out to God. Listen, God had to take me by the head. He had to turn my eyes off of everything that troubled me. He had to even get my eyes off my ability to stand strong, quote the word, bind the devil and believe it. Just put it on him. And I learned about his faithfulness, Sean. And I see people stressed out reading books on how to believe God for your miracle. Because guess whose faith it's all contingent on? It's yours. It's yours. It's not about his faithfulness and his love for you. It's about you and your ability to stand up with this force that somehow develops in you as you read this book. A force. Honey, this is not about a force. That's Star Wars stuff. Come on. Some little green fellow looked like half frog, half midget. Amen. Can you say amen? Came up with that. Luke, Oh, this is consoling. This is the force is with you, Luke. Don't be afraid of Vader and his big sword and that he's so tall and strong. The force is with you. I don't want the force with me. Can you say, man? I want the Father with me. Praise God. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Amen. This is my Father. It's my Father. It's my Father. Jesus told us about the Father. Faith is always directed toward the one who gave us his Son and the Son who gave us his life. So I went into Cudjoe's Cave near Middlesboro, Kentucky. My wife and I got way back in that cave. It was years after I had left Middlesboro and she had left Lynch in Harlan County. We went back to visit and we went in that cave and he said, I want to show you what real dark is. And I thought, oh, that's okay. Amen. But he flipped those lights off. And honey, I can flip these off in here. And that light outside, the moon, the star, something, a street light, something. But when you go in a cave deep under the ground and the lights go out, you can feel that dark, the most creepy feeling I've ever felt. And when I read this, I related to it because I've been there. And this true story, a family visited a cave in the state of Kentucky. Could have been the one I was in. The guide took great pleasure, by the way, in turning the lights off. Because it was only a few moments, but he made us. You know, I got highly dependent on the Lord and that guide. Because he had the switch to turn it back on. And I prayed that God would take care of us and take good care of him so he could get us out of there. Listen, the guide led them through many beautiful, winding, subterranean passageways. Isn't it great when the light's on and you can see everything and see all the beauty of the cavern? When it goes off, it's a whole different world. Suddenly, he turned off all the lights and said, I'm the only one who knows how to get you back to the entrance. If I left you here, you would probably never find your way out. Anyone lost in this cave would no doubt become insane within a week from the oppressive loneliness, even if you had plenty of food and water, but no light. Be quiet for a moment, he said, and feel the darkness. After about 30 seconds, someone in the party could stand it no longer and cried out, turn on the lights. I'm going crazy now. Amen. It don't take long when the darkness closes in. And you know what our armor is? Put on the armor of light. And you want to know what the armor of God is? You want to know what the armor of God is? I know the pieces of it. But you know, you want to know what constitutes the armor of God? Take ye the whole armor of God. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, the life that I now live, I live by the faith that has been developed in me because I listened to 18 tapes by Brother So-and-So. No, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who what? Loved me and gave himself for me. Where is his faith coming from? A Christ that loved him enough to die on the cross for him and said, I'll never leave you. He said, I can face anything with that fact settled in my soul. Can you say, man, this perfect love has done what to fear? Cast it out. Can you say, man, that's why the Bible said, looking to who for your faith? The source of it all, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Can you say, man, consider him that suffered such a great contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you become weary and faint in your own mind. There are no comforting words if it's all on you. Can you say, man, the words of comfort is that with them is the arm of flesh, with us is the Lord our God. That's got to mean something. So my dad's sitting there listening, and this guy's teaching that, in other words, you get my books, you get my tapes, and I'll tell you how to do it. God is going to sit aloft in his heaven. He don't care how you hurt, how much pain you're in. He just doesn't care. The only thing he honors is your faith. That's baloney. You know what he told Hezekiah? I've seen your tears. Lord, again, that's so sweet. You're getting it. I've seen your tears. I've heard your cry. Amen? Amen? You know what makes it hard to preach today? because of all the other preachers people listen to. You have to deprogram people to try to get anything into them. You start out with having to root it up. If I spend 90 minutes with my dad, 1 hour of it is to root out all that junk that's down in there so we can plant some good seed from the Word of God and get him to a place that he can lay down and sleep peacefully because he knows God loves him and God will not abandon him. And he don't have to stand in some perfect faith at 90 years old and show God that he's worthy of help. He's worthy of God's help because God loved him enough to give his son while he was yet a sinner. And so are you. And so am I. Can you say amen? Listen to me carefully as we work to a close tonight. Are you getting anything out of this? There's a book that should be PG-13. We'll close with this. Brother, would you come? Where is your one scripture from the Song of Solomon? If the Song of Solomon has no relevance to the church or to anything spiritual, it's a mushy love story. God wouldn't put it, allowed it to be entered into Holy Scripture. Amen. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know why the Song of Solomon is in here? Paul made it very clear. He starts talking about a man and woman and their love for one another. And he said, but I show you a mystery. I'm not just talking about a man and woman. I'm talking about how passionately and personally Jesus Christ loves his church. Amen. So the Song of Solomon has significance because if you find true love between a man and woman, you're getting a mirror of the kind of relationship that God wants through Christ with his church. This is supposed to be a love walk, folks. Every bit of it. Amen. We have faith that worketh by what? Some of you said love. Like, I hope that changes before you get home tonight. We almost snarl at love because we have walked out of it and we don't know how to get back in it. And we're not in our resting place. We're not in our resting place. I understand. Steve broke his shoulder. God bless you. We'll pray for him. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're working to a close. Song of Solomon is a love story. It's a beautiful love story. It's mushy. It's sensual. It's passionate. And it's the attraction of this groom and this bride. No one's ashamed of it. Because it's in the context of love. What does it say about the marriage bed? Undefiled. It's in the context of love. It's before the Lord. Amen. So there's stuff in here. PG-13. But listen to this. If we see the bride and groom here and we see the church in Jesus here, then the Song of Solomon is not just a mushy love story that got entered into the Bible somehow. It's got to have more significance than that. I'm going to read one verse tonight, and we're going to do that song we did this morning, if you still have it. He never gives up on us, and he doesn't. Song of Solomon 8 in verse 3. Who is this that comes up from the wilderness leaning on her beloved? Say it with me tonight, leaning on her beloved. I preach to people that don't know much about leaning on the beloved. They never see Christ as the beloved. They see themselves as responsible for their victory by building their faith and standing strong. And they're so stressed out by that pressure, they cannot rest. They cannot rest. You can preach the word, but they can't rest themselves on the word because they are tormented with fear, worry, and anxiety. And the stress of being made responsible for their own victory. Can you say amen? So you better get my book, my tape. You better get it instilled within you. And you better not miss a principle. Because if you do, the devil's going to destroy you. That's baloney. That's baloney. Doesn't mean that you can be unvigilant and irresponsible, but it does mean that you've got to find a faith that works by love somewhere, because that's the only kind there is in this book. Who is this that comes from the wilderness leaning on her beloved. Can you say amen? You know what the beloved says to the potential bride, to his espoused? When she's asleep, he said, don't bother her. Don't wake her up when she's resting. And she's resting in the crook of his arm. There is a rest for the children of God. Can you say amen? Only problem with it, you can't be in control to get in this resting place. You have to give your kids to God. You have to give your finances to God. You have to give your circumstances to God. Can you say, man, you have to give your family to God. You have to give everything and everyone. In fact, you have to give yourself to God. But when you do, there is a rest, Sean, for the children of God. And if I hadn't found my resting place, I wouldn't be preaching tonight. I may have already been gone. When the doctor examined me, he said, your body is like Dr. Reed, spirit-filled surgeon in Tampa. When he didn't examine me, but when he laid hands on me, he said, every organ in your body is like an overloaded fuse box. Anything could go. Heart, aneurysm, pressure spiking, anything at any time, the pressure it puts on your kidneys, anything could fail at any time. And I realized I've got to do more than preach under the anointing. I've got to more than just fight devils. I've got to find a resting place in God. Amen? And I found out something that I should have known from the beginning, but I read the books, I bought the tapes, and I felt fully responsible for my own victory. And I found out that I've got a God in heaven that's a shepherd God. And the Lord is my shepherd tonight. And my faith is in my Father and His faithfulness to me. And I'm going home tonight. And when I go to sleep, I'm going to join my two dogs. It's going to be a real symphony. Oh, Snoopy's going to snore. And old Buddy's going to snore. And old Bobby's going to snore with him. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen to me. I wish somebody told me what I'm telling you all those years ago. Because at Tampa Electric, I was responsible for my own safety. But when I came to Christ, my Father took responsibility for me. And said, I'll hide you under the covert of my wings. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the sons of men put their trust under the covert of whose wings? His wings. Can you say amen? There's the resting place. You know what it's called? The secret place of the Most High. Not because it's past finding out, but because it's intimate and personal to every person. You have to find your way to that resting place. Can you say amen? I can't take Pamela into my resting place. She has to find her way into that relationship with Him. And she can't take me, and I can't take you. But I can tell you that there is such a place. And they that trust the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved. For as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, the Lord is round about His people. And how is that? Because He gives His angels charge over us. Can you say amen? And they encamp round about us. Amen. To bear us up, lest we dash our foot upon a stone. Praise God. I'm glad for that kind of God tonight. Amen. You're in victory tonight because God didn't give up on you. You're going to make it all the way through because God is going to be faithful. Can you say amen? And if you fall down and cry out to Him, He's going to lift you back up now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling and present you how? Beaten, battered, beleaguered, and almost annihilated. No, faultless before His holy presence on that day. Amen. Let's stand and give Him glory tonight. He didn't give up on me. He didn't give up on you. Praise God, and I'm not going to ever give up on Him. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. How many are here tonight because God has brought you through? Time and time. Same thing we asked this morning. Let's praise Him again tonight for that. Hallelujah. 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 You need to find your